Pastor Jim.
Kenya, right?
Kenya.
Kenya, I want to bless you and expect a miracle because God's going to show up. Guarantee. With that being said, we are speaking a message, Why God, and I'm going to continue to speak Why God because the world needs to know God or my God. I want to say my God. Why my God? I should start telling them. Why my God? Because my God is set apart from all the other gods out there. Even though that my God is your God too, but you just don't know him. He hasn't been brought to you correctly. That's the way I want to say it. Because we've been deceived. And through our deception from generation after generation, we were painted a picture of who God is. And we believed it. And it's not our fault. I mean, listen, it happens. You only know what you know. You only know what you were taught. You only know, and it's not a bad thing, but now it's a bad thing because God's knocking at your door saying, repent, know who I am. And that's why you're listening. That's why you're logging on. That's why, you know, God has made a way where you're able to be here and hear this message because you're special. And not only are you special, he has interest in you. And he wants to have a relationship with you so that your life will prosper and become saved and an eternal salvation too, where you will receive this bliss of peace and joy and happiness. And not only will you receive that, but you will fulfill a purpose in your life. And you'll be able to continue over after life in a destiny. And maybe later on, I'm ready to, publish a book about my encounter. This is the Bible. This is the only book that comes close and witnesses what my life experience was as far as my life change when I had been taken to that realm of the spirit. I don't know how to explain it. Would you say the realm of the spirit, or would you just an out-of-body experience? Maybe I was abducted, whatever you want to say out there.
Otherworld.
But I was instantly transformed. I was taken out of this worldly realm into a different realm, and I now serve the God of creation, the God of the universe. And I want to introduce you to this God, because this God is the one who brought life into you. With that being said, I have a scripture verse that I want to read out of this book that witnesses, like I said, the Holy Bible is a book that witnesses what my experience was. And there's a section in here about how God formed us. And he's considered the master potter. And we were formed. There's a purpose for that, because I want you to understand that God is a gracious God and he's a merciful God, and we need to change our attitude in how we live our life. And if we can begin to rejoice in everything, and I mean literally start thanking my creator, my God, just start saying, hey, this guy's God. I want to start knowing this guy's God if you don't know him. And just start saying, I want to thank this God that he's directing me to. Because your attitude needs to begin to change. Your circumstances aren't going to change until your attitude changes. And the attitude has to change in the sense of more of a rejoiceful sense of placing your heart in gratitude and understanding that we don't deserve anything. And to come before my God, which will be your God soon, the God of creation, the God of the universe, come to him in a humble way, in a meek and compassionate way. And I'll share something here in this book here. I'm going to read. There's a chapter here, and it's in Romans chapter 9, verse 8, and it says, "This is who are the children that," oh, I'm sorry, it says, "That is those who are of, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God." Okay, let me start that over again. It says, "That is those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son." That was just a prophecy from the past. "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac." That was also a prophecy from the past. It's a story in the Bible how God spoke through a prophet. And as the word was spoken, it came to pass. That is like considered a seed. And I'll share all that stuff later. But I want to emphasize that those who are children of the flesh, these are not children of God. And I want to kind of give a quick rundown on what is children of the flesh. We're made up of parts. And each part establishes a character. And to be a child of the flesh, there's a part of us that creates a character, and that character is labeled flesh. And last Wednesday, I was speaking a message about coming to the Lord and getting ready to take a bath. Remember that message? I'm going to continue that, but I don't know when, because I have to prepare us to understand what it is to be naked, what it is to come to Him naked. We have to start taking off these garments that we're wearing, and these garments are indicated as flesh. One of them is envy, strife, and then you have pride. A matter of fact, Rachel, can you look up, or Mary Lou, can you look up the fruits of the flesh so that I can kind of read off some of them? You have them? Okay. And, okay, Rachel's going to do it. And we need to take these garments off, because God doesn't want any relationship with us when we have these garments on. And we need to become a new person, a new creation, a new being, but not actually a new one, really our original one. We're all children of God, but through generations and traditions, remember I told you don't know my God? Even though you know a God, it's because you were taught somehow through a generation or through a tradition or maybe your ethnic culture. You were taught a God and you were wrong. I hate to say that, but you were wrong. My God consists of truth. And my God is not interested in works or form of righteousness in your sense. He is more concerned about us coming into His righteousness and His ways and His laws. And they're all within inside of us, not based on what somebody tells you have to do, or you have to wear, or you have to be. And there's a lot of cultures out there, a lot of traditions, a lot of religions that form you into something which creates works and tries to put this righteousness on you. And it really pushes you far, far away from God. And I feel really, really bad for all the people out there having a desire to know God and really wanting to know God and trying to serve God, but is just steered completely off the grid. And it's a shame because they're in pain and they're suffering and their prayers aren't being answered. Every once in a while you might get a little miracle there or your little prayer answered, but you're not walking in a joy and a peace and a righteousness. And that's really what our hearts are really crying out for. Our hearts aren't really crying out for material things. We cry for those material things because we're just really searching for peace. We're searching for joy. We're really dry and thirsty looking for happiness, and we don't really know how to pinpoint it. So we think that if we can have a better job and make more money, we will have this satisfaction inside of us fulfilled. Or if we, you know, whatever, you know, find some kind of desire that will meet this need that's inside of us. Yes, it's true. There is a hope and there is a desire that needs to be filled with inside of us. But through our ignorance and being lost, we're unsure. So we just automatically assume that, you know, taking 2 weeks off from work is a form of vacation, and that brings us happiness and peace. But 99.9% when you do go away from vacation, you're still grumbling and moaning and thirsty and dry. And after it's all done, you're saying, wow, I wish I had 4 more of those weeks. I'll be feeling so much better. But I guarantee you get 4 more weeks and you're not going to feel any better than when you started. You might feel a little somewhat rested or glad that you got away from your stress, but at the same time, you're still entering right back from where you started. When you know my God and you come to my God and you finally renew your mind and start applying all the things that I'm saying, you can be on vacation 24/7 and still be exactly where you need to be. So as she's finding out the flesh, I want to continue to read about how God is the master potter. It says, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. So basically what that's saying is, you're predestined. God has already laid your life out. You're predestined. Everything that you've been going through, everything that you've been suffering, everything that you've been blessed by, all was already preordained, believe it or not. You never made a mistake. And so we have to understand, we have to get over this particular burden and hardship that we carry, because we tend to have regrets in our heart. And if we're going to know God, we have to come to him clean. And to take these regrets and these feelings of shame or as if we made mistakes, we have to release them. We have to get over them. We have to just let them go. Tomorrow and today is a new day. We have to live those new days and move on with our life. There's a lot of things I know in my past that I look back and I kind of just laugh and say, yep, well, that was the old man. There's a new man now. And that new man isn't compared to the old man. And these are the things that we need to look at, because that will give us a boldness to move forward in more of a happiness and a peace and a joy when God begins to start having us walk into his destiny. You know, how would you like to move on forward, not being able to change the future and just be grumpy all the time in it? You know, it's like, why? It's so foolish, because you can't change tomorrow. God's will and his plan has already been pre-established when he created you. We make it good or bad by our attitude and how we handle it and how we see it. How many people understand what I'm talking about? You can see good in things or you can see bad in things. And we need to start looking at the good things, but not in a mindset. It has to be done in a heart set. And this is the difference, because there's a lot of people that are just going off trying to do this in their mind, like happy thoughts, happy thoughts, happy thoughts. And it doesn't work because their heart is still holding on to things. Their heart is still grumbling and not happy about the way the day is going. There has to be a full surrender within your heart. You have to learn how to let it go and forget about it. This is one of the strongest garments that we carry on us. It might be the overcoat of our whole garment or the overalls of our whole garment. You know, it's a big piece of our garment that we carry on us that we have to take off. I think we got the fruits of the flesh. Okay, let's see what we have here.
Okay, to do this, you got to start back up here.
Okay, this is the flesh though, right?
No, right, it's
okay, yeah, okay, I got it, right, yep.
Now just keep your finger on the screen and keep it on.
Okay. So now it says, I got to keep my finger on the screen. It says, now the works, or we'll say the flesh, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. And the reason why you won't inherit the kingdom of God, and what I mean by the kingdom of God is first of all, you won't understand the law that's written in your heart. You won't have clear understanding, and you won't be able to be set free so that you walk in peace. The kingdom of God is within, and it is a concept of your whole entire life. So each one of us carries our own kingdom. So if you can look at it that way, you each carry your own kingdom, and you're the king within your own kingdom. And then it says the fruits of the Spirit, which that is our new garment. That's what we put on after we take this bath, after we come out of this place, is the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. So that really is the law of God in that area. But I don't want to get into a great detail with that stuff there, because I want to emphasize, because of time, I want to emphasize the attitude that we have to change when we come before my God. We can't serve two gods. We can't serve the flesh garment and the spirit garment. Amen. And we can't function this way because of the fact that my God doesn't allow individuals that have dirty garments come into their presence. So we have to learn how to change our attitude. The mindset has to be renewed, and we have to look at our cup full all the time, looking at the good things rather than the bad things, and rejoice in everything, and just come and keep on rejoicing. So let me continue to read here, because knowing that God is ultimately the creator, and Him creating your life, He has the supreme being over your life because He created you, so He's the master potter. And we have to have that reverence. We can't come to Him with a bad attitude. We have to come to Him with an attitude of gratefulness that He created you and He gave you life. He actually gave you an opportunity to repent, to change the way you're thinking. It's as if you did something wrong and you were bad prior to this life, and when you came down, you were forgiven. But you have to go through a fire. And by the time you get done through the fire, then you are purified. And the fire is simply life. I'm just going to try to make it so simple for us to understand it and not get into such great details. You know, let's just get a base down. Let's get a nice foundation down. So life is your fire. And we have to go through the fire without being burnt. We got to start being grateful and thankful and look at situations and be glad in every situation so that we can go through this fire with a form of not being burned. Now, there are things that can happen because there is no time with God. I want you to understand that. God is a God of eternity, so there is no time. And if you want to get through your fire faster, like everybody goes through a certain period of burn, and then you have that period of, whoo, cool off time, and then you have that period of burn again. If you want to get through your fire quick, the fastest way is to just prepare your heart with rejoicing. Come to a place of just praising and thanking your Creator so that you can get through the fire faster. If you don't, He will keep you burning until you finally surrender, until you finally give in, until you finally say, okay, I quit. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you reach that point, then you begin to come through the fire. It's almost like you're baked and you're done and you're ready to be eaten. And God's going to, you know, enjoy your being, and He's going to consume you and enjoy your presence. But if not, you're going to stay in the oven, and you're going to keep burning and keep burning and keep burning, and your situation seems like it's never getting over with. And it's because we're grumbling and moaning and groaning within. We're not coming to a place of renewing our minds and renewing our hearts, and we're not giving God the honor and glory that He deserves, because He's the master potter and He created us. I want to share what the scripture says about God being the master potter, because these are His words speaking through this scripture. And that's why I say this book here is the closest book that I've found that has bared witness with my experience when my life was changed. So it says here, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to the elect, might stand, not of works, but of Him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. These are prophecies that were spoken in the past, and they're just referring back. And then I don't really want to start explaining all this. Just listen to what is being said. And as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Now, I like that phrase right there, because that goes to show you that God can actually hate you. Yeah, no one ever thought of that, did they? Oh, how could God possibly hate me? He's a loving God and an all-merciful God. Well, you don't know my God. And this is why I'm trying to tell you, you need to know my God, because my God can literally hate you and curse you. Yeah, from the foundations of the world. But we won't go there yet. But it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. See, I'm here to save you. I'm here to bring you to a place of a better life. I am tired of seeing you suffer. I'm tired of seeing you in pain. I'm tired of seeing you. Now listen, the eyes that are mine now are the Father. So if I'm saying I'm tired of seeing you in pain, God is tired of seeing you in pain. He's tired of seeing you hurt and struggling and feeling that rot inside. And so because of that, you need to understand why I am so adamant about telling you about my God. And I may bring offenses because, listen, nobody likes to hear that they were wrong serving the wrong God. But tell me, if you were serving the right God, if you were serving my God, why are you still in pain? Why are you still suffering? Why is there an emptiness still inside of you and you don't know why? Why is there joy that is in that you're lacking? Where is your happiness? Where is your peace? Why are you tormented? Why do you feel sick and nauseous when things come up? Why can't you face things? Why are you always running? So now you have to say to yourself, is your God really my God? Because my God takes away all that stuff. My God fills you up with peace. My God fills you up with joy. My God takes those darkness areas out of your life and brings light into it. My God allows you to face things when it's hard to face. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to get weighed down. We all get weighed down. But that's just the fire that we're going through because, listen, we don't deserve the goodness of God. We don't deserve anything good. We should be grateful for the fire because the fire is only for the moment. And then you have eternity. If you can go through the fire and endure the fire now, you have eternity and not be burned. But, you know, I don't like to talk about afterlife because people just stick their head in the sand and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. They don't want to believe it. And I can understand that. So let's just keep focusing about right now. Let's take the pain that you're in now away. Let's bring the joy into your heart that you're lacking so much. Let's take the emptiness that you're feeling and let's fill it up. Let's get that filled. So with that being said, let me tell you about the words that my God said here. It says, so he says, after he says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Are you an Esau? We got to ask ourselves, are we an Esau? I hope we're not an Esau. I hope those that are listening aren't an Esau. I hope God has a love for you. But shall we say then, is there unrighteousness with God? Meaning, is that fair? Is that fair for God to hate you? Or is that fair for God to love you? Is that fair? Listen, we're not one to judge to say if God's fair or not. He can do whatever he wants. If he hates me, he hates me. And I got to find a way to have him like me. It's just like a friendship. If you got somebody to hate you, you better figure out why. You see what I'm saying? You better find out why and hope that it's only because of their issues and not your issues. And so with that being said, God, his intentions are not to hate you. His intentions is to love you because he loves the whole world. He sent his spirit, which is the divine nature of Christ. And it all mankind, all human race, there's a seed inside of every living being. And that's God's love. But that seed can't crack open, and you can't be a child of the promise if you don't hear these words. I'm here to crack that seed open. I'm here to plant it in good soil, and I'm here to water it so that that seed of Christ can grow, that divine nature of God can grow, and you can be part of the promise of God. And then you won't be hated, you'll be loved. And that pain and that suffering and that emptiness that you're experiencing will all go away. It will disappear. And that's why I want you to know my God. Hear these words. Learn the way that I am showing you so that you will have a clear understanding. And that seed inside of you will be cracked open and you will become part of the promise. So with that, it says here, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whomever I will have passion. That's basically saying God can do whatever he chooses to do. And that's why I say, listen, please, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. You have an inner man inside of you that's knocking on your door right now. And it's banging hard because you're listening now. He's going like this and he's saying, turn from your ways. Take off the garment of that flesh. Take off that dirtiness that you're carrying. Take off of that. Take that burden that you're carrying, that guilt and that shame of yesterday. And stop remembering it and stop reminiscing it and get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Get those things that are causing a heaviness on you and remove it and ask and he'll show you the way. If you don't know and you say, I don't know how to get rid of this, I can't get rid of it, I'm stuck for it, that's a lie. You're never bound. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you're never bound. He will find a way to set you free. He will find a way. He will break the chains. And he will loose you from the pains of death. And I know it because I was once there and he set me free. He set me free and brought me back to speak this message to you so that you would hear what the Spirit is saying to set you free. Some people became so hopeless and say there's no way out. There's no way out because maybe you're really not wanting to come out. Maybe you like the pain. Maybe you like the attention. Maybe you like the drama. Maybe somehow or another you get attention and you're not being honest with yourself. Maybe it's your conversation piece. So wherever you go, you have something to talk about and you begin to talk about your pain so that you have people pity you. And maybe that's what you like. Maybe you like pity. But is it really going to be healthy for you? You're rotting inside and you're slowly decaying. And if that's the life you want to live, I can't help you because you're not sick enough. You're not sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so I need to move on with you. So if you're one of those listening right now and you feel as though that you like that attention, this isn't not for you. This message is not for you. This message is not for you. But if you're sick and tired of that emptiness and that pain, and you want a new life, you want to get out of the situation that you're in, and you want to start over, and you want really a fresh breath of air, you're smothered, and you want to get out of that situation, and you want to breathe, well, this is the message that you need to follow. This is the word that you need to encamp in and listen to it and find a way to keep listening and listening. And you have to keep listening until your mind's finally renewed, until you finally filtered out all that old tradition and filtered out all that nonsense that you grew up, maybe through your geographical area or your, you know, traditions of genealogy of how you were brought up somehow or another. And that's all you know. Listen, if you were a goat herder, that's all you knew was a goat herder. You never knew what it was like to be an attorney or a doctor. You just know goats. Well, this is what I'm talking about. There's more. There's more out there. And test the waters. See my God. Know my God. There's a lot of people out there that are deceived. And they're not getting the joy and the peace, and they're walking around thinking that this is what life is. And this is it. This is what it is. And it's not is what it is. There's a bubbling, drunk joy that comes with my God, the God of creation. But it comes with wisdom and strength and sound mind and power and miracles and signs and wonders. So it's not just a hoo-hoo, drunk, laughing time. It's a peace and a joy and a wisdom and a strength and an authority coming with my God. And I want to make that clear. So there's, here it says, so then it's not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name be declared in all the earth. In the past, there's a story about Pharaoh and how he kept people in captivity. And Moses was the one who was called to set the captives free. And Pharaoh had a power in the land. And God brought miracles and signs and wonders and created Pharaoh's heart to change, brought devastation on him, and literally broke Pharaoh down to make him make decisions and release the captivity, and then hardened his heart to go chase after them and try to get them back, and then showed signs and wonders and turned around and ended up destroying him. So he made him like a yo-yo. And he can. He can make your life like a yo-yo. Or he can make it straight. Depends on how you choose to decide. I wouldn't want to get into the hands of God. I want to fall into his hands in love. I don't want to be hated by God. I know if I stop bringing this message, I'll be like Pharaoh getting caught into the splitting of the Red Seas, and he'll close the waters on me and I'll drown. It's not a good thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. And so we need to obey, and his law is written on our heart, and he's commanded me to speak this message, and my heart is saying yes, and I have no regrets. Even though around me may look devastating, but in my heart I know I got a peace and a joy and a righteousness. And I hear that sound saying, "Well done, my faithful servant. Well done." There's a heavenly sound that comes down and just whispers in your heart and says, "You've done good." I want you to hear that voice in your heart. Not all are called to do what I'm doing, but all are called to do what's inside your heart. And God wants you to follow that law that's written on your heart. He wants you to follow it without a shadow of a doubt, with a trust and a love inside of him, knowing that you have exalted him above all other gods. And you said, "I'm going to believe in you, and I'm going to walk in you. Despite the circumstances around me, I'm going to bow down to you, and I'm going to walk in your ways. And I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to praise you and give you thanks in all things. And I'm going to continue to give you thanks." This is what else he says here in this book. It says, "Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, 'Why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God?'" Basically, this book is saying, who are you to even talk back? Who are you to even question about how your life is right now? Who are you to even question the circumstances that are going on around you with your relationships or the way things are happening with your life? You got a deck of cards that were dealt with. And you have to learn how to play them. And you got to play them smart. You got to play with them as far as having the discernment of God and the joy and knowing. Then it says here, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the things formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?'" And you know how many people are out there questioning their appearance, their situations, their bodies, the way their health is? Things are going on in their life, maybe your financial situation, and you're questioning, but all you're doing is feeling sorry for yourself. All you're doing is you're creating havoc and creating more of you to walk in that fire. The circumstances that you're in is only because you're not giving thanks. I'm going to keep it so simple. You're not thanking the master potter for your circumstances. I don't care what they are. You got to say interesting, not try to reason with it, and then start thanking him for it. And know that something in it is going to turn around for the good. That's the God that you need to start creating in your heart, which he draws to, and that's who he is. And it's all things from him, through him, back to him. And until we begin to develop that relationship with inside, we're never going to be set free. Now, I know it's hard to rejoice. Believe me, you ride your bike, you fall off of it, you scrape your knee. Man, it hurts. Well, don't deny the hurt. It hurts. But what you're doing is you're grumbling. And you're bringing it on and over and over and over and over and over again. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. You fell. Brush it off. Wipe it off. Endure the pain for a moment. Don't let it keep coming on and on. We're bringing on our own problems. We're bringing on our own issues. We're weighing ourselves more and more down. Fix the problem. Take the weight off your shoulders. Do something about it. Release yourselves from it. Don't groan. Don't complain. Don't feel as though that you're stuck, because you're not stuck with anything. Delegate. Give others some responsibilities and take the burdens off your shoulders. I'm sure there's more people out there that are willing to help. And then it says here, does not the potter have power over the clay for the same lump to make one vessel for honor and the other for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. I want to be that vessel of glory. I hope that you, after listening to this message, you will say in your heart, I don't want to be the vessel that was prepared for destruction. I don't want to be that one that has been formed to only experience destruction. I want to be that vessel that has been formed for glory, to come into that place of victory, to come into that place of glory in our heart. So ending this message, change your heart now. I know your circumstances are not good. That's a given. I don't know of any fire that doesn't burn. I don't know of any fire that doesn't hurt. So I know that your situations are bad, but it's only for a moment. These things shall pass. And so I'm saying to you, agree with me tonight. Agree with me now. These things shall pass. And endure it for a moment and start looking deep in your heart and start rejoicing and start thanking. I know it's going to be tough in the beginning, but if you continue to resist the grumpiness and the moaning and the groaning, and remember, you got to be honest with yourself, because maybe deep down inside you like that pain for the attention. But I'm hoping that that's not the case. I'm hoping that deep down inside you don't want this pain anymore. And you're not looking for the attention. You're not looking for the conversation piece. And then you begin to start resisting. And as you resist, it will flee. And you won't be in a habit of groaning and moaning and complaining all the time, finding the misery in things. Sometimes we develop bad habits. It's no different than like smoking, and you can't quit smoking, or whatever kind of addiction you have. You can't seem to quit. Well, this tends to fall into an addiction too. And some people just can't quit moaning and complaining and bitching inside themselves. constantly finding drama of something wrong, something to manifest. And so I hope that you repent and change the way you're thinking and understand and say, I'm sick and tired of this circumstance. I'm sick and tired of the way things are. I'm sick and tired, and I want a new life. I'm just tired of the way things are. And if you're sincere about this, then you're going to start doing something. And the best thing you can do, yes, you can take some control and take matters in your own hands, but I don't want you to be forceful. I want you to just start being grateful and thankful, and start to look at the good things. Start looking at the positive ends and know that God's going to turn things around. My God will turn things around. But you have to follow this word. I'm going to end this message right now. But before I end this message, I have a gentleman that came up. He's a pastor in this ministry. His name's Pastor Tim. And he's going through some fire right now. And God has given him great grace to go through this fire. And it just kind of backs up with what God has laid on my heart for you tonight. Not knowing that he was even going to be here tonight. And here he is. So I believe the world needs to hear his testimony about how God is turning things around. And he doesn't have to get into details about what's going on in his life. But he can share about how the burden and the fire that is burning inside of his heart. But yet God has given him great grace and mercy through it, because he's exalting his name. He's exalting him and he's giving him all glory. And he's looking at things differently. So I'm going to call him up now. This is Pastor Tim Westerside. Let's give him a hand of praise. Amen? Amen.
In life, Pastor was speaking about the fire, and that's life in general, and everybody's circumstances are different. You know, we all have burdens, we all have challenges that we have to face in life, and I'm no different than anybody else. It's just that what I'm going through right now, I'm embracing it instead of running from it. I think that's the important key to life, is whatever you're dealt with, embrace it and just see it that God's going to get you through it. You know, every day has its own challenge. And the other night I had a major challenge and I just laid in bed and I just started calling out to God in my heart and I was just asking him for help. And when I was doing that, I just started praising him and thanking him for the situation that I was going through. And, you know, I didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but I just wanted to glorify him and just say, you know, thank you for, you know, having me go through this situation. And in the morning, he did a miracle in my life where this person that was in my life was having trouble even speaking. And I slept through my alarm, and I went into his room, and he was laying there, and he was wide awake, and he's like, where have you been? You know, he's like, I need help here, you know? And this compassion just came over me, and, you know, compassion truly is a power, and the compassion really helps you get through difficult situations. You know, because like we always speak about faith being a power that can hold you and move you in situations. Well, compassion, when you're going through a challenge where you're trying to serve someone, you can't serve anybody out of obligation. There has to be some motive there that's pushing you into the situation. I believe it's compassion. And to make a long story short, I needed to get a power of attorney from this person, and this person was incoherent for 4 days. I couldn't even speak to them. They weren't listening to me because they were on all these medications. And when I gave it to God the night before, God made him speak. And I was able to talk to him, and he was able to sign a power of attorney over to me this morning. And he's been pretty good ever since from that hour. And, you know, when you give it to God in your heart, not in your mind, you know, Jim was saying earlier about people complaining, and look, we all fall short. We all complain about our situations because it's an inconvenience. You know, we're all self-willed. We got selfishness. We're full of self. But when you can get out of yourself and truly just say, okay, God, you put me in this situation. I just need to follow my heart. He makes things happen that are beyond our understanding, to where we get through things. And you know what? He gives you joy, peace, and he also puts a righteousness on. It's not self-righteousness, but a righteousness that's in him. And I hear that voice. He says, well done. Well done, my faithful servant, because I'm not serving myself. I'm there to serve someone else. I'm serving God. You know, and, you know, is it difficult? It can be. But you know what? It can also be such a rewarding thing that happens in your life when you get out of yourself and serve others. And God is doing that in my life at this present time, you know, and I know it's hard on my family, but you know what? He turns it around because they're encouraging me. They're there supporting me. You know, I want to share this one thing that happened to me today because, you know, we need encouragement in our life. When we go through dark times and we go through situations, the body of Christ is here to help, and it's there to encourage each other. And I got a nice word this morning from a person that goes here. Her name's Michelle. And I've seen so much growth in this woman. And this was out of the clear blue because I was talking to Pastor earlier in the morning and we were sharing some things. And I got a text from her and I'm going to read it to you. And Michelle, if you're listening, God bless you. And I thank you so much for the encouragement because you uplifted my spirit when I was driving today. It says, "Hi, Tim, it's Michelle from church. I felt strongly to reach out to you and let you know your father is in my prayers. I'm sure this is very hard on you, and I know you already know this, but the work that is being done within is so much greater than the physical appearance. The healings you don't see are the real miracles. No one knows why God does what he does, and sometimes that's frustrating, but your faith has put him in a good place no matter what. BTW, I guess that's between, I don't know what that means. But. By the way, I feel weird sending this, but God is anointing me too. So I hope you understand. And you know what? I just said, thank you so much. Your words have comforted me, and I needed it. You know, and it just uplifted my spirit because she was impressed and impelled to do that for me because, you know, God softened the heart and put it on her heart to give me this encouraging word. She didn't really know the situation I was going through, but it was impelled upon her. And that's why we need one another. We need to hear the Spirit of God within ourselves here because there's people that need words. You know, the other day I was coming home on the turnpike and I just started to praise God and worship God and I was having a tough day and it turned around on me. And when I got home, this guy I didn't even know gave me such an encouraging word. It just uplifted my spirits. But if I wasn't in a praise state, I might have missed it. You know, I might have just kept going through the same situation. And like Jim was saying, you get burnt. You stay in that burning fire over and over and over because you're moaning and groaning and complaining. But when you can rejoice and you can give praise to God, no matter what situation or circumstance you're in, he turns it around. You know, when I saw what happened this morning, he turned it around in a blink of an eye. And it happened just from that night to the morning. And you know what? I was rejoicing. I called my aunt. She was rejoicing. My mom was there. She was ecstatic. My wife is ecstatic. They were in disbelief about what happened from 4 days ago to today. But that's God. God can do things beyond our understanding and our control. But I believe it happens when our hearts line up to his will. And we start praising him, worshiping him. And, you know, I said earlier, I believe it's compassion. You know, because compassion is what compels us in situations when, you know, if we're serving another person, if I'm doing it out of obligation, I'm going to moan, I'm going to groan, I'm going to bitch and complain, and the circumstances aren't going to get any better. But when you can sit there and God wells up that compassion within you, it doesn't matter what you're going through and how you're serving that person. You're doing it because you love that person and you want to help them as best as you can for whatever reason it is. So I just wanted to share that little tidbit with you tonight because, you know, God is doing a wondrous thing in my life. He's restored a relationship that since I was a kid, the relationship was kind of off on both of our parts. But now, like, he's put us both back together. And, you know, we're having the time of our lives right now. And I believe it's because it's for eternal life. You know, not only his salvation, but my salvation. Because there was things in me that needed to be forgiven. And, you know, and God's doing a mighty thing in that aspect of my life. And, you know, he put this situation in my life. And it's, I don't look at it for that person. I look at it for myself. You know, because in this life, you only get one life, and life should be full of joy, peace, and righteousness. It should be fun. It shouldn't be a burden. You know, we put the burdens on ourselves because we don't like the way situations come about, and we need to change the way we're thinking about it and say, you know what? This situation can be good. You know, you got to change the perspective, but it's right here. It's inside your heart. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Hold on for a minute, Tim. I want everyone to understand. I met you how long ago?
About 15 years ago.
And Tim has been under this ministry, and he has grown tremendously. And would you say that your faith, where it is now, is based on because of this?
I said to Pastor this morning, I said, if it wasn't for the teachings in here, if it wasn't for the support and the ministering and the laying on of hands, I know in the situation I'm in right now, it'd be a living hell. Instead, it's been a joy and it's been a peace. And I would never change my circumstance for anything. Because you know what? I know God put it here and I'm just embracing it. And I just thank him for it. But it was because of the ministry, because of the teachings and the support and you know, the equipping that he's given me. It changed my heart. It changed my heart because I know if I didn't have this, and I'm going through what I'm going through today, I would have ran from it.
You wouldn't have your father.
I wouldn't have him.
He would be in someone else's care. He would not have the relationship he has with him. He would miss the opportunity of going to a different, higher realm after life. And not only after life, but a higher realm now on this earth. Where Tim is now, he doesn't have the guilt and shame now that would be laying on his shoulders if he ran. If he ran, he would have been having more guilt and more shame laid on his shoulders because he wasn't there.
Can I say something? It's funny you bring that up. I was driving here from Maryland today, and I turned on the radio, and this pastor was preaching today, and he was speaking about his regret. His mother had cancer when he was 20 and she was 47, and he ran from her. He said he regrets not taking care of her and having that intimate relationship with her when she was going through that suffering. And he said the regret is he can never go back to change it. And he's living with it right now.
Hallelujah. You know, we don't quite understand what is buried inside of us and why we have pain. But a lot of the pain is because we've been running. A lot of the pain has been because we haven't been empowered to look at circumstances and be equipped in it. And, you know, one of the worst things that we can ever do is run. And we've been running all our lives. We're running nowhere. We're running and we're running and we're running and we're just getting tired and we're not even knowing where we're going. And we're lost. Well, these things are going to change now because you're going to listen and you're going to begin to apply what is being said. And you too are going to be strengthened like Tim has been strengthened and like myself has been strengthened and those others that aren't here right now to give testimony about what God has done through this message by knowing, I'm going to say, our God. Because now he knows my God.
You know, I just got to say one more thing. The lie in the world is this. The lie is that you want to create an easy life for yourself. And that's why we run from problems and circumstance, because it's an inconvenience to being in control and comforted. But when you're in God and you surrender to His will, He gives you that comfort. He gives you that peace and that joy, no matter what the circumstances. It's not about trying to create a comfortable situation, whether it's through money or, you know, a lifestyle. But it's about doing His will according to your heart. And when you embrace that, He gives you the comforts of life through peace and joy.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Tim, and let's keep encouraging him through our prayers. Everybody can pray. You know, God is not a respecter of person. When you say, hey, I want to know this guy Jim's God and this guy Tim's God, and God, I'm going to pray to you who knows these guys, and hopefully I get to know you too, but hear my prayer, okay? And he will listen. With that being said, Michelle, as he mentioned, is one of my new interns, I guess you could say. And I have had the opportunity to take her under my wing for a short period of time. Her life is changing dramatically. And it's not a lot of studying. It has nothing to do with, you know, anything other than being able to reach that special place in the heart and to be able to set the captive free in the heart so that the light can come in. And when you're under this anointing and under this ministry, within a half hour, it can change 10 years of your life. With the right words that are spoken to your heart, your life can be changed dramatically. And Michelle is a living example of sitting under this ministry. And it happens to be Mary Lou's daughter, who I'm so endeared to. She has embraced me when God has changed my life. And she was like the first one I was able to see when I came back that was a believer and hungry for knowing my God. And she has been with me since the beginning and forsook a lot of people to follow this truth because she knew it was the true truth. And I look at her and I'm devoted to her and in debt for her being there for me through all the ones that thought I was nuts. And so I'm ever more in debt. And as I am paying my debt to her, I am also setting her children free. And I will make sure that every one of them will be free and will be in that place of heaven with you. And they will all be able to rejoice together in heaven. Amen? So let's give the Lord a big happy praise. Remember to continue to joy and give Him thanks. Amen and amen.